Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's time for our weekly visit with Gordon Chang, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia and the implications for us of developments there. He is, of course, a columnist with The Daily Beast. You can find his writings frequently and his appearances on the various Fox News outlets. He is also, of course, the author of two terrific books, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and The Coming Collapse of China. He's gracious to give us a bit of his time each week. We're always grateful for it. Gordon, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much, Frank, and I'm grateful for being on the show.
Well, it's our pleasure indeed. Let me ask you first, Gordon, about developments just yesterday in Japan. I don't know if you were surprised, but I was, about the enormity of Prime Minister Abe's parliamentary victory. Tell us how this came about and what it might mean for changes in the Constitution with respect to the self-defense features, the sort of pacifist Constitution, if you will, dictated by MacArthur at the end of World War II.
Well, Shinzo Abe called a snap election, and largely because the opposition is in complete disarray. So he had been expected to win, but as you say, the margin is really spectacular. I'm not so sure that this really indicates that the Japanese public has changed their views substantially over the last year, but it does indicate that Shinzo Abe is going to become the longest-serving Japanese prime minister. And that's important because, as you say, Abe believes in a strong defense for Japan and even amendment of Article 9, which is the part of the Japanese Constitution written by Douglas MacArthur, that Japan forswears the use of war as a means of settling disputes. Technically, Japan does not have a military. They call it a self-defense force, but it is extremely capable. Under Abe, it's going to become even more capable. That's a good thing because the United States needs all the strong partners in the region as we possibly can find, especially because the North Koreans and the Chinese are threatening peace and stability.
Indeed, they are. And Gordon, the supermajority that Abe now has in Parliament could enable him to amend the Constitution, Article 9, or perhaps in other ways as well. Does that seem likely to you in light of the intensifying dangers that the Japanese are facing, not least of which ballistic missiles now being flown over the Japanese islands by the North Koreans with some regularity?
And you look at attitudes in the Japanese population, amendment of Article 9 would not only be controversial, but would be unpopular. So I suspect that even with these large majorities that Abe has, he's probably not going to do it. But he doesn't have to. So you got to remember, Frank, that Article 9 does not permit the use of war to settle disputes, which means you're not allowed to defend yourself. So that means that Japan's self-defense forces are unconstitutional, yet they exist. And Abe is going to change interpretations of what Article 9 means to make it a dead letter, which it already is.
And Gordon, just to round this out, is it the case that in any way, shape, or form he ran on this idea of strengthening the Constitution? I mean, it was certainly part of his program. Was there not, in fact, a mandate of sorts arising from this electoral vote?
Well, he's always been in favor of amending Article 9 to basically take it out of the Constitution. Of course, this election was, like all elections, fought basically on domestic issues. And indeed, you know, you have a very short election cycle in Japan, especially on a snap election like this. So this was not at the forefront of voters' consciousness. Because there's a lot of people in Japan who just are against any amendment of Article 9. But nonetheless, this is where Japan is going, and it's being pushed there, as you point out, by the Chinese and the North Koreans who are threatening Japan. And so you're going to see a much stronger defense, even if there is no amendment of Article 9 or formal amendment.
This is very helpful. Let me turn to one of those threatening countries. Of course, China has been undergoing a rather exotic ritual this past week, Gordon, with the Party Congress. Xi Jinping spoke for 3.5 hours to it at one point. Talk a little bit about the Party Congress and against the backdrop of your new piece with The Daily Beast, in which you disclose that the Chinese are now openly talking about, the Chinese leadership, that is, of a of a kind of coup that was overcome by Xi Jinping and his cohort over the past 5 years. This is high drama indeed.
Xi Jinping gave his work report, as it's called, on Wednesday. And Frank, it was only 3 hours and 23 minutes of speech. But it was 3 hours and 23 minutes of hostile statements, especially when, you know, you're Japanese or you're Indian or anybody else in the region. And that also includes the United States, because we are the guarantor of peace and stability there. Xi Jinping made it very clear that no one's going to separate Chinese territory. And that means that Xi Jinping is absolutely determined to take Arunachal Pradesh from India, take Taiwan, take Senkakus from Japan, perhaps take Okinawa and the Ryukyu chain, because Chinese state media is urging that course of action. So we have a territorially aggressive China, which is using forceful tactics. And Xi Jinping was, as he believed, ascendant. Now, for the United States, of course, you know, we are looking at that and have yet to come to terms with it, yet to willing to speak in public about the dangers that China poses. One thing, though, that is a danger to China is Xi Jinping himself, because what he's doing is he's raising the cost of losing political struggles. In the Maoist era, if you lost, you sometimes lost your life. Deng Xiaoping, his successor, reduced the cost of losing struggles. Now Xi Jinping is saying to people who oppose him, not only will I throw you in jail for corruption, I will accuse you of treason. And that's what happened a couple days ago on Thursday, when a Chinese official said that there were coup attempts against Xi Jinping. And although I don't think that they actually were, except perhaps in one case about 5-6 years ago, nonetheless, what this shows is that Xi Jinping is roiling the political system. When he roils the political system, Frank, we are going to see turmoil internally, and a unstable China is going to be very difficult for the world and the region to take.
You know, this is seemingly at odds with the impression left by the Party Congress and Xi's presentation. He's quite forcefully expounding, as you say, not only a China-first policy, I guess you could call it, towards the region, but also increasingly, I think, asserting Chinese aspirations, the China dream, if you will, for a much larger role in the world, presumably at our expense, Gordon Chang. When you put all this together, the appearance of stability and rising power and instability within the, you know, highest reaches of the Chinese government, that is, it would seem, a formula for very considerable, well, turmoil for the world, not just for the Chinese. Is that how you see it?
Oh, absolutely, Frank. You know, we could see a China that looks like Maoist China in its aspirations, but is more powerful in its capabilities. And, you know, we got to remember one thing about the work report on Wednesday, and that is Xi Jinping not only talked about China wanting more influence in the world. We can understand why every country wants more influence. But he went out of his way to attack the West and basically saying that China is a model for the rest of the developing world. And indeed, you know, when you pair that with what state media has been saying for years about how democracy is not appropriate for even for us, then you start to understand it's a fundamental challenge. It's not a China that just wants to be more influential. We can live with that. It's a China that wants to undermine our institutions and is taking active steps to do it. And Xi Jinping's work report is a reminder to people about the fundamental nature of China's belligerence, its provocation, and its pernicious influence on the world.
Fascinating. We appreciate your time describing it for us, Gordon, and look forward to doing so again with you next week, perhaps with a further overlay on what China is doing with North Korea at the moment and the feeling that we need to put nuclear-armed bombers back on strip alert to contend with the growing danger from that quarter. That and more with you next week, Gordon. Thank you. In the meantime, be well, my friend. Appreciate your time. We'll talk next with Michael Cutler about the sanctuary state that is now harboring drug traffickers and other threats to our republic right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.